This is CliffCentral.com.
Double play for you here on CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday.
Stop.
Wow.
Yeah, I was in the
that
car.
That was very radio of you.
I was in...
Name the songs now.
I had to drive. That was Michael Jackson. We'll be there. Will you be there? Well, you're here now with us, and we're bringing you the best in hits in old school.
Yeah.
I was listening to some radio Monday. Oh, it's got to be so... it's just hard to kind of comprehend. It's like you're in your 40s and every day. And next we got Bananarama, bringing you the hits.
But guys, we have to admit, it's quite a, really no tea, no shade to anyone out there, but it's quite an easy gig. You just get there.
But can you imagine every day of your life being excited about hits that weren't hits since like 87?
Yeah, but you're excited for 3 minutes and then you get
18
minutes off again.
Speaking of excitement, Sia's bubble just burst in a big way. He just got heartbroken in the studio. So, you know, we started the week off talking about Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Justin Timberlake's performance and the whole homage to Prince.
Yeah.
And then how everything went purple. Sia genuinely believed that the whole city around the stadium went purple.
Well, okay, for a bit of context, if you haven't watched the Super Bowl halftime performance yet, and the stadium is in Minnesota, that's where, or I need to say Latin American Minnesota, Minnesota, that's where Prince is from, and that's why Justin Timberlake wanted to do some sort of tribute to him. So in the middle of Justin Timberlake singing his own songs, he then sits at a piano and starts to sing a little Prince tribute, so some of Prince's songs. So while he's sitting at the piano, the camera then pans up to this massive projection of a few Prince images, and then furthermore the camera pans out so you see the entire stadium, which then becomes purple. What I thought was the whole stadium lighting up in purple, which is Prince's color, and the camera pans back some more and all of these different buildings become purple as well. Like, and I thought it was genuine, all the buildings are lighting up in purple, and then they make the Prince symbol, which I thought was so cute and cool at the same time. And then you had to just burst my bubble.
Again, yeah, I often say, some days I wish I lived in your world. I do, because it seems such a happy place.
No, it's really, like, in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. What a commitment from everyone in the city, because at the same time, they had to turn their lights on. Never mind, it was actually stupid, because how do you make your light purple?
No,
so everyone
not,
had to change
no,
their light bulbs
in my mind. It's not stupid, because every now and again, you know, you'll see a building switching up its lights for some other cause. It's not entirely stupid.
Yeah, but this is now like Bob's mechanic.
But the way...
Isn't it amazing how they all got the same shade of purple?
That's the thing. I was like, wow.
Thanks, Gord. Okay, Gord's brought me coffee. The day is going to go well. Just getting back to a couple of messages.
Still a surprise that everything they... that hundreds of thousands of people decided to do purple, and it still surprised the world on TV. Nobody leaked it. All of the citizens of Minnesota.
And okay, now I really feel dumber than normal.
I always wonder about that metaphor, hitting a purple patch being a metaphor for when things are going well, because I've hit a few purple patches in my day, and it was never a jewel.
And some purple pearls. Moving on.
Moving on.
Trying to lighten the mood, making coffee, being cheerful. You know, just doing my bit.
On to the messages. Ben, this is the third day you've not played your theme music when doing the sport. Please get your house in order. Sincerely, temporarily concerned listener. P.S. I still love the show. Sorry, I love the show. Seems you haven't got a name there. Gareth, that's Gareth's song. So when Gareth leaves, I plug my laptop in. I don't have that song, unfortunately. So I can't intro myself with the sport with that song, because that's what Gareth's got. Gareth pays lots of money to people, I think, for this bed of amazing sounds and songs and things. And that's why he runs the show.
Please tell me he doesn't pay people for that, because I've always been awestruck by the fact that he has a little soundbite on cue for absolutely anything.
He's got a program. It's look, Gareth's a professional. He's good at this thing called radio.
Mm.
So if you are wondering why things sound a little bit different where he's gone, it's just because, well, you wouldn't just sit here and become Gareth Cliff. This is not how it happens. He's so much more than just a guy who stands here and talks about how he can't understand the concept of time.
You know, he's also a master of technological wizardry, sound production, and hair that is always perfect like a Lego man.
Exactly. So got a bit of a surprise for you right now. We started the show talking about Zuma. We started the show talking about farm killings and that kind of stuff. Oh, just another message I forgot to bring up earlier. Ben, my cousin was attacked on his farm in the Freestate by five men in 2017. His head injuries were such they left him for dead. He survived. After reconstructive surgery, he's back on the farm because that is just what he does. But he's living with severe pain every single day, and his family is in fear of another attack and worse. So, you know, like talking about the reality of what's going on here, you know, it does hit home when someone you know. I mean, obviously, our listeners, we don't cover the country, but we've got a fair audience, and we often see messages like that, people talking about how it's personally affected them. So, I mean, like, I just think it's one of those things we need to be more objective around, and that was the first hour discussion. But now. The surprise.
The surprise?
Sia, am I going yes on the surprise? Well, I'm not going to leave the guy hanging for like 2 minutes.
No. Let's just get straight into it. There are a lot of questions being asked. A lot of speculation was being made yesterday. And if anybody is going to provide the answers, it's this man.
See, that's why I said to Sia. I mean, because now we can't do a dynamic intro if he hasn't got him on the line. See, Mubs, this is it.
Radio. My whole thing is not knowing what's going on, and I'm so excited right now. If the listeners are as excited and intrigued right now as me.
Okay, Mubs, so we'll cut it out of the podcast. Let's just go back with this man.
Okay, so listen, this is exactly what we were talking about earlier, Gord. Mm. The confusion, the questions, the many meetings surrounding the president of the country and the president of the ruling party, and what all this means, and whether or not he will resign, as the prophet Julius Malema said yesterday.
Basically, we are in the dark and we don't know.
We don't know. And to provide us with the light is Justice Malala.
Hey, Justice, back for a bonus edition. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, Justice, I think like everyone else, slightly curious. We're not quite perplexed yet, but definitely curious.
Look, you know, I heard one politician saying that they are befuddled, and I think most of us are in that state. Look, I think we're going through a period now where, and we discussed this on Monday, where it's not if, it's when. The lion is wounded, the lion is holding on and doesn't want to leave. I think basically, you have Jacob Zuma realizing that he's got so much debt on him. But not only that does he have debt on him, there are so many other people around him who are implicated, who are dirty, that this is their last fight. So that's why you keep on hearing some incredible rumors like he's about to fire Cyril Ramaphosa because you know, institute the cabinet reshuffle. Some of the wild allegations we've had, some of the stuff that we think is going on and it's actually not going on, and so forth. So it's a time of you know, stories and counter stories, rumors and counter rumors, all sorts of things going on. My view is that basically Jacob Zuma has put on the table Cyril Ramaphosa that these are the things I want. I can't speculate on what those things are. I am sure they relate to him being not humiliated as he leaves, and him trying to find a way to make sure that he doesn't go to jail. I don't know how Cyril Ramaphosa is going to do that, because this is a matter of law. You can't give someone who hasn't even told us what he has done immunity or a pardon and so forth and so forth. So I'm not quite sure what he's asking for, but I think it rotates around those two issues. So the big question is that, you know, what happens to the umpire? What happens to the fact that he's sitting there, he's sullen, he's looking at us and saying, you know, how dare you people do this to me? I did so much for you. I'm Jacob Zuma. And the nation is looking at him and saying, you've had your chance, you've abused it, leave now. I think we'll have a State of the Nation speech. I think the meeting last night with Cyril Ramaphosa essentially told him, you're going. Either you go now or we have our NEC meeting and we push you out. And if we push you out, you're going to find yourself in big trouble. And so there'll be a State of the Nation. It will be delivered by someone else. But when, I don't know. If he decides to do the right thing today, and given the speed with which things happen, he might do it today. Then maybe, you know, there was a time when the State of the Nation speech used to be on a Friday at 2 p.m. Jacob Zuma came along. Actually, it used to be on Friday at 11 p.m. Then there was 1 year when it moved to 2 p.m. Jacob Zuma came along and made it Thursday, the Thursday before, at 7 p.m. So we might go back to the 11 a.m. Friday phoner. That could be, the things could move that fast because everyone is in Cape Town. Everyone wanted this to happen, and it could happen that quickly. Sona has a lot of stuff around it, but the key one is that it's a one-hour speech, and then everyone goes off and has a party. This time, I think it would be a really big party in Cape Town and elsewhere across the nation, I suspect. The last Sona, the Sona where Nelson Mandela's release was announced was on a Friday at 11, I think. In fact, I think it was 10 until 11 at the time. So we could go back to that tradition. But the options are many. It could also be pushed out to Monday, Tuesday. The one thing that we know is that Cyril Ramaphosa and the ANC have said, and I believe them on this one because it could cause chaos, is that the budget speech has to be held on the 21st of February. So they have to have the Sona before the budget speech. So that's where we are. I'm not too sure if we have much more than that except the wild rumors that, oh, Putin is coming. Oh, Putin is not coming. And so forth and so forth.
Justice, it's all well and good if Cyril Ramaphosa manages to strike some other kind of deal that protects the president, but what then happens to all those people who are lying and waiting to pounce with their charges? I mean, you know, we are led to believe that people like Gerry Nel and them have got files upon files upon files that they're ready to, you know, to take to the courts as soon as they can charge the president. What then happens to all those people?
Well, first of all, the one problem we're dealing with is that President Jacob Zuma doesn't think, he's not a Democrat. He doesn't think that he is subject like you or I to the normal laws of the country that he can be charged and go to jail. He actually thinks that he is, how shall I put it? He thinks that he is King Goodwill's only king. He thinks he's a monarch. So he thinks he can just say, no, I won't be charged, and that will happen. Cyril Ramaphosa is in a pickle, and that pickle is that he can't actually guarantee Jacob Zuma any of that immunity from prosecution. If he does it, if Ramaphosa does it, excuse me, then he has to explain to us on what basis in law did he do that. Now, Ramaphosa has a legal degree. He would know those basics. In the first place. So, if he agreed to it, then Gerry Nel, for example, will turn around and just go for Duduzani, which is what he's doing already. And he's not even going for Duduzani that, oh, you took money to buy. He's going for him that you drove your fancy car too fast, you hit the taxi, a woman was killed in it. So the problem with Jacob Zuma's empire is that it's got all these many, 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 many other people that also have so much that's dirty around them. And so on the basis of that, how do you then pardon Jacob Zuma, and how do you pardon him alone because of the extent of the odds? You think about Museveni Zwane. Museveni Zwane has so much coming after him, the fear, the day retirement, so I think it's very important for Jacob Zuma perhaps to understand that this thing is so way beyond him. It's so complex that if he has always been telling us that he wants his day in court, he will get his day in court and he can't dodge it.
Now, Justice, what are the thoughts around him having one last sort of move, and that is actually firing Cyril Ramaphosa as the deputy president of the ANC right now? The presidency has dismissed it as preposterous. People are saying he'll do that, and then NDZ comes in if he were to resign. Do you think that's just some salacious kind of news at the moment, or would there be truth in that?
Out of all the rumors that people have been peddling, and many people around Jacob Zuma have been peddling, this is the one rumor that I take seriously. But I take it seriously because Jacob Zuma has the track record on this one. Remember when people, and I'm the one of the guilty ones, I said he won't fire Pravin Gordhan. I mean, that would be reckless. What did he do? He went and fired Pravin Gordhan. Jacob Zuma and restlessness are peace in a pod. He loves being reckless. He loves instability. He loves chaos. And so he's totally capable of doing that sort of thing. That said, I think in this case, he's outmaneuvered. I think that the game is way too far down the block. And I don't think he will, do it. But Jacob Zuma is not known as Punyuka Bempete, which is Houdini, which is the one who always escapes when they think they've got him down in chains. So the great Houdini might do it again. But I think the chances of Jacob Zuma now not stepping out of the presidency are extremely slim. And these are the last kicks of a dying horse. He's going out. What sister said, dying colossus. This is a dying animal, and these are the last kicks. So I think it's over for Jacob Zuma. It's just the how and the exact when, but the next few days, the next few hours are going to be hopping, shall we say.
But Justice, I'll never forget when you said on a couple of previous occasions, the two that stand out in mind was the vote of no confidence, and also with Cyril Ramaphosa ultimately being given his position, that you said, look, there's a way that you expect it to go, but we must never forget that for 10 years, Jay-Z has always managed to, despite so many occasions where we've gone, this is it, this is it, this is it, he's always managed to come out on top because that's what he does. So do you, I mean, how much realistic, fear maybe not the word, but how much realistic concern do you have that that may continue to be the case?
And someone tweeted a lovely thing the other day, and he put it in inverted commas. It said, Zuma cannot survive this one. And he said, a South African proverb. I think you're absolutely right. That's where we are with Jacob Zuma. But the key thing here is that is what Gwede Mantashe said last year. He said, Jacob Zuma, it's hard to remove Jacob Zuma because he's the president of the ANC. Because if you remove the president of the ANC, in a way you've really cut off the ANC at the head. If you remove him as president of the country. So, and he's the guy who speaks last in those ANC MEC meetings. And so Jacob Zuma is no longer president of the ANC. He's now president of the country. Ramaphosa is the president of the ANC.
Jacob Zuma has always succeeded by abusing his membership of the ANC first, and then his presidency of the ANC over the past 10 years. With those two things gone, he's now in a very precarious position. He still got support. He's got people like H. Mahashule, Jesse Walker, others inside there. But many others are saying, well, do I stay with a losing guy or do I start thinking about my own? So I think that's where the shift has happened and will happen. He's no longer president of the ANC. And so it's just a matter of time. It's no longer... He might survive, and I've always said he's going to leave on the 8th of February. I think he'll leave by tomorrow. I think by then the terms will be done.
These are exciting words, sir. These are exciting sentences, Justice.
Sorry, say that again, sir.
These are very exciting sentences. 8th of February could be gone, which is tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, because I think the agreement last night was basically him giving in.
So, just before...
But I'm interested in the terms that he keeps on putting forward, that no, I want this, I want that. I'll wait to see those as well.
Well, exactly. We'll believe it when we see it. So, just before we let you go, Justice, just one question I think lots of people are knowing. Outside of you, is the second most credible person for political updates Prophet Julius Malema?
Julius Malema is incredible, I think. He has certainly been the most reliable source on this show. I interviewed him on Monday evening, and he said, look, I speak to the Ramaphosa guys, I speak to the Zuma guys, and I think the key thing that he does is double-check his sources. So the one guy will tell him Zuma's going, and he'll go to the other side and say, I hear Zuma's going. They say, no, he's not going, but he's going tomorrow. And then goes to the other side and says, oh, it's going tomorrow, is it? And they say, yeah, but, you know, maybe give 1 or 2 hours. But he's been amazing in that sense. I think I was interested that in my interview with him, that he went for Cyril Ramaphosa and really tried to attack and destroy him in many ways. And I think it's because Jacob Zuma's gone, and so he's got to find a new enemy. And I think that... it will be interesting to see how that relationship turns out, how he positions himself against Ramaphosa. But certainly right now, you should be having Julius Malema on the radio, because he'll tell you that the exact time when Jacob Zuma is going to resign. People like me just say, ah, I think he'll leave on the 8th of February. My brother, that guy has the fire.
All right, Justice, thanks so much for joining us on midweek like this for the latest update. Of course, you can catch Justice next Monday on the Burning Platform.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes. Thanks, right. Justice. I hope your prophecies come true. And then on the Burning Platform Monday, we have a very different sort of angle of attack. A Zuma-less Burning Platform.
Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes.
What a thought.
But Jacob Zuma, we could still have him on Monday, and I could be home.
Well, we should. If he is out, maybe we should try to get him in the studio, actually. We'll just have that one. That'd be fun.
Good luck. See ya. Get on it. Bye.
See ya. Get in the phone right now. Try Justice. That'd be the funniest thing in the world, him actually coming into giving an interview where he doesn't control the interview, like every other interview he's had in his career.
Yeah, that would be different.
It would never happen, though.
It'd be a different angle.
It would never happen. So, Mubs, it is Wednesday. Elon Musk is littering space again.
Oh, Dude, here we go.
I'm so stoked about all of this.
Okay.
Well, we've got Elon Musk expert Gordon Laws here this morning.
Elon Musk expert. I'm just an enthusiast about space stuff, and Elon Musk is doing the coolest space stuff at the moment. Him and his massive team of scientists.
But, Gordon, when it comes down to it, on pure love and admiration.
I'm a fanboy.
Are the specialist on Elon Musk right now.
Yeah. Then it's perfect, because in the left corner we've got you, the fanboy, and then in the right corner we've got Ben, who detests Elon Musk. Conversation's going to be interesting.
I know we've had it out on this before.
I don't detest Elon Musk. I just think he's in a position where he can get away with so much bullshit, and I almost admire him for that. But just like the guy who lies at a party to get chicks, I see through his stories.
I mean, he said he was going to do things and he did them. How he did them, you know, things that weren't doable before, and was not once or twice, many things that were widely considered not possible, he said he was going to do, and he's done all of them. So I think that regardless of his personality, because, I mean, he's definitely a little bit, I don't want to like insensitively use the term because it's obviously a real thing, but I don't know if, like, not autistic, but he's like a little bit Asperger-y. He's like a, he's not like a normal person who's normal socially. Yeah, well, in his autobiography, so they kind of explain.
Social disorder.
Basically, he's got a thing, according to his authorized biography, where he kind of says exactly what he thinks and doesn't understand that there's a tact issue with that. So, like, he doesn't mean to offend you or berate you. He'll just be like, you've told me your idea, and he'll be like, well, that's a stupid idea. It's never going to work. I don't know why you thought of that. Ooh. It's not possible. That's going to be expensive, and I don't know why you would propose an idea like that. It's a crap idea. And carries on talking to someone else and doesn't realize that, like, saying that to someone in a room full of people is hurtful to them because in his mind it just wasn't a good idea.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Okay.
His personality aside, they launched the Falcon Heavy. This is the rocket, or rather the assembly of rockets of Falcon 9. What are they called? Merlin rockets. It's currently the biggest payload rocket in the world at the moment, by a factor of two. It's also it can launch a payload larger than a 737 packed full of people, fuel, and luggage.
Yeah.
And this is ostensibly the rocket assemblage that can launch the stuff into space that would be needed to go to somewhere like Mars, also to set up to send people to the moon, or to take smaller spacecraft into space and then launch them from space.
Does he have any plans in terms of what he wants to do with Falcon, or has that not been revealed
heavy,
yet?
Heavy Falcon.
Yeah,
Falcon.
Sorry, Heavy Falcon.
It's got to have a hipster name.
Okay.
Falcon Heavy is made up of a number of Falcon 9s. Anyway, the first thing they did, they just wanted to test if the rocket works.
Yeah.
You can't stick expensive stuff or people in it until you've launched it successfully a few times, bearing in mind his quote-unquote impossible plans to launch quote-unquote impossible rockets that land themselves and all that. Many blew up before they went, and now they routinely go up and down, these Falcon 9 rockets. So you got to launch
it. Expensive hobby.
Well, it's not a hobby. Very profitable.
It's not a hobby. It's going to make him a ton of money.
Yeah, well, at first he invested billions of his own money and really risked his personal fortune, which he made co-founding PayPal, into setting things up, and there were multiple failures. He was at real risk of being cleaned out by it. But now SpaceX is, if not the leading, I'm sure one of the leading. I believe they're the leading, but if not, certainly one of them. Mm-hmm. Companies that launch stuff into space for other people. So like telecommunications companies launching that need to get their satellites into space, refueling. He does a lot of stuff. They do a lot of stuff for NASA, refueling the space station, sending up new equipment for NASA. So now they get that, you know, they launch a rocket, it's making them profit. But initially they had to fail and fail and fail and fail. And then once they were getting the rockets up, they were trying to do this impossible thing of landing them again, which no one else could do. So anyway, they sent up Elon Musk's personal Tesla Roadster, which mm-hmm. is like the very cool sports car of Tesla. Well, they're all very cool, but this is the coolest one. And they put a guy in there. They've also designed a prototype spacesuit that people will be able to wear for like long-term space travel, which looks very cool. They put like a mannequin in that. His name is Spaceman. And he and his Falcon 9 rocket are, as far as I know, I think they're going to Mars. But there's just, once you shot the shit up into space to check that the rocket works, they needed something in the rocket. So now there's a Tesla Roadster with a guy with a mannequin in a spacesuit being sent into deep space, which is, well, not deep space, into the solar system.
Good. Thanks for that, because you said it the best. This guy, if nothing else, is a master of marketing, publicity, and all that kind of stuff. He understands what to do to get things out there. The fact that he wants to do good things on top of that, essentially, for the human race, cool. All credit to him. To see where his hairline has gone from his 20s to now,
I knew it.
That is the real genius of the man. The guy has gone from a balding, strange tooth, kind of clumsy guy who lived in an apartment with a rather unattractive woman, full head of hair, dating supermodels, and literally acting like there's lightning coming out of his backside.
You know, my people have a saying that says, if I translate it, that money cleans you up, Ben. I mean, that's what money does.
Wayne Rooney?
polishes you off. It gives you a fresh new coat.
Yeah.
It makes you shiny. So
Jay-Z said it. There's no ugly billionaire. He's cute.
There's a famous clip you could search it relatively easily on YouTube of Elon Musk when he sort of cashed in when he made it and PayPal yielded him a lot of personal money
with McLaren,
where he bought that McLaren that he then didn't insure and crashed.
Yeah.
But there's an interview with him, like, how does it feel basically to be rich now?
Mm.
And he was just so awkward. He was wearing a jacket with, this is probably sometime in the 90s, he's wearing a jacket with shoulder pads, bad ones.
Yes.
He's got bad
exactly
90s hair.
Yeah.
He looks like the nerdiest man on earth. And he, with this really geeky smile and this kind of nerd snarl, was like, it's so nice to be rich. Oh, I've got money. And it's like the most awkward. You just basically want to slap him off his feet. And now he's become like a towering figure of industry. Anyway, all of personal opinions about Musk aside, just to no longer belabor the point, he has managed to send a very powerful, very large rocket into space, which could potentially do quite a lot for furthering space exploration and furthering man's knowledge of and travel into space more than what we have done in the past. And that's quite exciting, because since the 70s, we have only moved backwards in our space capabilities. And this is a step forward after a long time of no step forward.
Forward. Gotcha. Here he is, 1999.
That I've just bought, which is called McLaren F1.
It's $1 million for a car.
This is his then fiance, Justine Wilson.
Then,
and you can see she's pre-money fiance because, well, it's just Elon stepped it up since then.
It's decadent.
There are 62 McLarens in the world, and I will own one of them.
Back in '95, there weren't very many people on the internet.
I mean, he looks like Oscar's American cousin here.
And suddenly, nobody was making any money at all. Most people thought the internet was going to be a fad.
Not this South African entrepreneur. Musk sold his first computer program at the age of 12, and he hasn't stopped selling since.
Wow, I can't believe it's actually here. It's pretty wild, man. Just 3 years ago, I was showering at the Y and sleeping on the office floor. And now, obviously, I've got a $1 million car and quite a few creature comforts. It's just a moment in my life.
He looks 10 years older.
My values may have changed. But I'm not consciously aware of my values having changed.
My fear is that we become spoiled brats, that we lose a sense.
Oh, honey.
That's why he broke up with
you. Trust me, your fear is not being a spoiled brat. Your fear is being kicked to the curb when he finds better-looking women.
Appreciation and perspective.
A year ago, Musk sold his software company, Zip2, which enabled newspapers to publish online for $400 million cash.
Receiving cash is cash. I mean, those are just a large number of Ben Franklins.
Ben Franklin.
It's a perfect car for Silicon Valley. It really is.
So it was
there
two,
is
and then it
the
was
fastest
paper.
Car in the world.
I could go and buy one of the islands in the Bahamas and turn it into my personal fiefdom.
Wow.
I'm much more interested in trying to build and create a new company.
So this is an ATM. What we're going to do is transform the traditional banking industry.
I do not fit the picture of a banker.
Oh, that comes.
Raising $50 million is a matter of making a series of phone calls, and the money is there. I've sunk the great majority of my net worth into X.com, which is the new banking and mutual funds company on the internet.
Wow, so, I mean,
he was douchey, I won't deny it.
Can I?
Is it being douchey or is it just new money?
No, yeah, also, guys, it was the 90s. It was like we were programmed in the 90s to look like dipshits. We really were.
Can I just ask a question here? Is Elon Musk South African?
Yes.
Why?
He went to Pretoria Boys High. Well, he was born here and
went
to Pretoria Boys
High.
Was
Oscar.
Where he was mercilessly picked on. He's got a deep-seated dislike of jocks and a deep-seated dislike of kind of like rugby orientated South African culture. I don't want to get this wrong because I'm sure some enthusiasts will correct me, but on his father's side, I believe one of his grandparents is Canadian. So, and he was also kind of he'd read every book in his school library as a primary school kid. He had gone to the local bookstore where he would sit there for hours and read all the books in the bookstore, and kind of they took a liking to him, didn't kick him out. He's got some sort of photographic memory. So he was very much a bookworm, and he was mercilessly picked on by the rugby kids, which is kind of what the school's known for. And as soon as he was able to, he applied for this ancestral Canadian citizenship, went to Canada, studied there a bit, and then from Canada, it's a lot easier to get into the States.
Because I'll tell you why I ask. I do find it interesting that there are a lot of South Africans who want to praise Elon Musk and want to claim him as our own. And then on the other side of the coin, I think to myself, do you think Elon Musk wants any association with South Africa?
He does still identify as South African.
Does he?
Yeah, he still. People introduce him as South African. They refer to him as South African. He doesn't correct them. He still speaks with a mostly South African accent, you know, like Charlie.
Because when I heard him speak, now I was like, oh, he sounds very not South African.
He does to me, but I mean, anyway, for me, the point, I don't know, people not interested probably want us to change the topic now, but for me, the point was just, you know, what they've done in terms of space travel here is really quite significant. And the fact that the first test flight went well, as opposed to the original Falcon 9s, which, as I said, are shooting up now, routinely going fine, they failed many times. This one, on the first attempt, they shot up a really serious rocket, and it's very exciting for people who dig space. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, he's as an individual, as a character, he's divisive. Not everybody likes him.
Mm. Yeah, well, Ben.
But Tesla's super cool. SolarCity's super cool.
Yeah.
The batteries and shit, renewable energy stuff.
All right, good. Okay.
He's going to cry and all right. Me started. Car, so
I know, and now I'm just trying to get you stopped.
Yes.
But he's a great example, again, kids, that you don't have to be popular, Greg, because being popular sometimes makes you poor. When you're that kid on the outskirts and you're forced to work and do, and when you don't have friends, you have books, and books make you rich in later life. Never forget that.
Not everybody's constant.
Not everyone can be a constant bickering.
So what's your advice to us, Ben?
Don't have friends and read. My advice is, if you don't have friends in school, it's hardly the worst thing.
Yeah,
I know there's all this pressure to have friends, but those people are going to become dicks in later life, whereas you can become rich. And if Elon Musk's hairline is only the example you take.
Why are we back to that again?
So yeah, look at him in the 90s. Look at him in the 90s. Look at him now.
I just wanted to talk about space. Yeah, but on the topic of dicks in school.
No, Elon Musk's hairline is the real success story, you guys. Forget about the space malarkey.
More money, more moisturizing benefits and fixing up your hairline. Have you seen his mother?
Mm-mm.
Gorgeous older lady. She's a model.
Oh, well, there you go.
With social media, like we have greater capacity and often more so than what we would like to have to kind of stay in more or less some form of touch with old schoolmates and people who, you know, a generation ago you would have literally never heard from again as soon as the school bell rang. There is actually a real phenomenon of like dudes that were, I don't know if it's the same with the girls, but dudes that were really popular in school that like never get past it. And now with me being into my mid approaching late 30s, there's still like a bunch of guys that I know that were super cool in school and that's their thing. Like,
oh yeah.
Guys do.
But are they successful?
Not really. And it's like, you know, it's quite a thing. Like Ben says, you don't have to be popular or successful in school to be popular and successful later in life.
Yeah.
It's almost like there's a certain curse to it. Obviously, there's exceptions and it's not a rule, but there's almost like a certain curse. A lot of the cool kids end up being douchebags who often become pretty unspectacular in their real grown-up life.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, doing a young throwback to when I was in high school, and I'm trying to think which of the popular kids made significant things of themselves in adult life. Not one.
Wow. I won't say not one, but yeah, I'd say the average one is doing averagely from my experience.
The average one is doing averagely.
Yeah, like the median score of the coolest kids is not terribly impressive. So, they're middle order batsmen.
From now on, averagely is a word that you're allowed to use, people. It's a word.
Let's go with that.
He's doing averagely.
So I tell you who's always doing averagely. Angus Buchan. You remember this prick?
Okay, see, this is another one that you don't like. But so let's carry on.
You remember Angus. Angus is famous for holding those homoerotic prayer circles. For basically,
are we really calling him?
Well, basically, he's a prime example of what happens to men when the Springboks are cuck. They double down on Jesus and they all hang together. So Angus, I mean, this clip is doing the rounds.
Wow.
Now, look, another thing about this show is that even if we don't like the stories, we've got to tell you about it just so you know what's going on.
Okay.
And Angus is back in the news. So News 20.
Angus is back in the news.
He's back in the news.
Yeah.
On fire here today, Gord.
All right.
Who are you guys sometimes? Meeting. Where is it? It's in Mitchell's Plain. When is it? It's on the 24th of March this year, the Saturday. This is not just a Cape Town.
Sorry, Angus. Okay, wait. Let me give Angus his fair due.
Okay.
I mean, my intro, of course, was glowing enough, but Angus is going to hold another prayer meeting because every prayer meeting that Angus has, the world changes for the better. Now, this dipshit last year said that the dams will be full in March, and he said this last November. I was talking about Cape Town, talking about the whole water crisis, and Angus also said that he prayed a woman back from the dead.
Oh!
Now, Angus is jumping the shark here. I mean, yeah. In the beginning, he was talking about us getting along, and he could fall behind some of the safe Jesus-isms.
Yeah.
But the fact that he prayed someone back from the dead just shows where Angus is right now on the crazometer.
See, you're gonna gain a couple of crazies with shit like that. You're gonna gain from a marketing strategy with shit like that. You're gonna gain a couple of crazies, but you're gonna isolate a large portion of people who are only just managing to buy it and kind of dig you averagely. So if you've got 1,000 people that dig you, the 100 craziest are going to love that. 100 new crazies are going to join you because of that. But sort of the bottom 300 are going to be like, okay, bro, I was with the sing song. I was with Cape Town's Dry because God hates gays. But seriously, like now you're praying people back from the dead. I'm out.
No, right. Guys,
blind faith.
Different levels.
Guys, blind
different
faith.
Different levels.
I'm sorry.
Angus capitalizes on blind faith like all the other washed up preachers.
Well, you see, this is what I'm thinking. I don't know why Angus and the likes of Bopastamboro and these people, Angus prayed a woman back from the dead. You have those pastors, you know, who are dealing with the snakes and the petrol and the whatnot. You have the new church where, like, you're allowed to drink because it's in a tavern because, you know, that's okay. Why don't all these guys come together, go on a national tour
and jump off a cliff
and just collecting money from...
In order to feel like you're part of something, you have to be not part of something else. So it's like football teams. You can't, it's like saying, why don't all the teams in a league join and become one big team and then their fans will all support the same team? It's like you have to feel like an us and them kind of situation. You need someone to be superior to. And it's not just...
But they all have similar views.
It's not just we're Christian and so we're better than people who aren't. It's like we're super Christians and we're better than ordinary lesser Christians. You have to have teams.
But all these guys are on the crazometer. So I feel like if they all bounded together, they could make a killing.
Like a boy band.
Because that's what it's about for them.
Patricia tried that. She rounded up all those leaders, went up the mountain and came back with nothing. I mean, Hugh Grant went up a mountain and came back with a woman. I think that's one of his movie titles. Reference. Anyway, Angus, here he is.
Angus. So it is a national prayer meeting. Where is it? It's in Mitchell's Plain. When is it? It's on the 24th of March this year. It's a Saturday.
Saturday, but. Side note, Angus has aged terribly in the last 5 years. Terribly. I love this one shot. There's a press conference, and there's one guy taking a picture of Angus. Another guy's on the couch thinking, I am in the wrong place. There's just no one actually at this press conference. Anyway, back to Angus. I mean, he's so progressive. He's going to the Cape Flats.
This is not just a Cape Town event. It is a South African event. This is a God event. Who's in charge? God's in charge. Who's paying for it? God's paying for it. No tickets. No collection for free.
By the way,
when we organized this and God told me to come, there was no problem with water.
Sorry, you heard right. God told him to come.
Yeah.
So God's busy. He's got stuff to do. Angus, I've got a crazy week. Can you go to Mitchell's Plain? And can you just address this water thing? I mean, I've been mean to get to it. But, you know, with, like, the new season of The Bachelor.
I've got Trump. I've got to do what Trump wants.
You know, Elon just sent me a Tesla. I've got shit to do, Angus. Would you mind? Would you mind sorting this out for us?
Angus, go on. Hallelujah.
Isn't that a coincidence, young lady? A God incident. So what is the objective? The objective is to come against crime, murder, disrespect for human life, prostitution, alcoholism, drug addiction, racialism, and hatred.
Racialism?
I was about to say we're going to come together against the Jewel, and then he threw racism
in
again,
and that joke fell apart. You were making up your own words 2 seconds ago.
Hey, man.
Well, Angus has now got copyright on God incidents.
Well, there you go. That's part of his charm. He makes up words.
That's why we're going, Errol, to the hottest place in South Africa.
Is it?
And many people have said, you won't get me there. Well, if you don't go, you'll be the only one that won't be going. Because everybody else is going. And who's going to protect us? Probably the gangs. God.
Angus, those gangs are going to knife you. They're going to knife you. They're going to take your teeth. And that's that stupid cowboy hat you wear. That's also God, my friend.
He's not happy with Cape Town. He's had enough of the abuse, women and children, gangsterism, lawlessness. He's had enough. Segregation. The gap between the extreme...
Sorry, I know there's a lot to take in, so I'm just going to give you a little highlight points as we go along here. God has had enough of Cape Town.
He's sick of you.
Cape Town, you've... Seriously, you need to look yourself in the mirror.
Honestly.
God's really had enough. Taken your water.
You've really done fucked up this time.
Yeah. Not only have you pissed off God, but now Angus is involved. It's like, guys.
Well, Angus is speaking on behalf. He's
on
like
God.
The spokesperson. Yeah.
He's speaking on behalf of God. You know, what do you mean?
Yeah. I see him more as the big brother that kid in school told you if you messed with him, the big brother would come kick your ass. It's like, God's been telling Cape Town. I've been taken away the water. I've been godding Cape Town. But now you haven't been listening, and now I'm sending in Angus. Yes.
Which basically goes to show, guys, that TripAdvisor and all those things are actually the devil, because they've been saying Cape Town's the number one city in the world.
I'm telling
you.
Yeah. Oh, Ben.
Rich and the extreme poor, is that enough?
When God gets started talking, Angus
when the people...
Talking.
God, would you not be so blasphemous to talk over Angus?
Sorry, I didn't realize Angus was coming in.
Know your bloody place. Sorry, guys, back to Angus.
It will rain when the people repent. Which people? The people of Cape Town and the Western Province. At 12 o'clock, we are believing for a lot of farmers to come here. From the west, right up the west, they're coming. From the middle, Worcester, and right down there from Bredasdorp, they're coming today. I've told them. Don't you sit there on the farm and cry when there's no rain.
Okay, Angus, firstly, don't ever discourage people from giving water back to the land. You don't tell someone not to cry. But you know what he's actually doing here, which is actually really smart? He's covering his tracks again. He's saying he's going to make the dams full. But
if people come.
Terms and conditions, right? Cape Town has to repent first and stop being so sinful, and only then will it rain. So basically, if it doesn't rain, which was not going to happen because, I mean, March.
Meteorology.
Yeah, because of, you know, science, geography, and actual the weather. So Angus will go, well, guys, look, I mean, God said you guys had to repent. You didn't repent, so therefore there's no rain. Yeah.
And it's specifically the Bredasdorp and Worcester farmers had to come out. He'll come out with a list, and like, we have it on good authority that at least 35% of the Worcester farmers did not attend. I made it extremely clear that those people had to come. As a result, the prayer meeting was sabotaged by people not being on board.
That and a lack of repenting and
just like the unicorns didn't get on the ark, the Worcester folk
but much,
screwed it up for everyone.
March is a cutoff date, right? Because he did say that the dams will be full in March.
Not better, full.
Full. So, all right. So
we're talking 80%.
We're going to have to do like an Angus countdown.
80% damn, 100% Jesus. That's Angus's.
There you go.
When you guys are organizing.
I'm feeling the spirit up in here this morning.
We're putting together a list of people, obviously difficult interview candidates to get a hold of. I know you guys are interested in talking to Julius Malema. That will take a bit of organizing. As soon as that's done, let's get the woman that died and was resurrected by Angus. Let's get her in.
Oh,
talk about how
was
death.
Damn right.
Yeah.
What does God look like?
Yeah.
Guys,
Is it cloudy in heaven?
I don't mean to be having like running with any sort of anti-Jesus kind of stuff. I know a lot of people have religion in their life for personal solace or purpose or direction. And, you know, I'm always for that. Personally, that's not me, but I'm not going to poo-poo you. But I will jump all over this Angus prick and expose him for what he is. And I think this is the problem, is that just like any other vice in the world, and don't kid yourself, religion's a vice, just like anything else, this guy will peddle it, he will abuse it, and he will profit from it.
Yeah.
That's why they're called prophets, guys.
He's like a dickhead, and this is his angle. Trump's got an angle.
And
everyone's,
he's not profiting from it.
A dickhead needs an angle. You can't just be a dickhead. Yeah. No one's going to get on board with dickhead's your thing. You've got to have an angle.
So Angus has profited throughout his life.
But didn't you hear he said, God is paid
for this. He's written books, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And God wrote
and I tell you what, Angus does not pay for his steak and chips when he goes out drawing, wherever he's living. So, Angus, I think this is what should happen with Angus. Cape Town Gay Pride Festival. This guy should be tied to a parade of some sort. You know what, Angus? You want to put yourself out there. Angus should be tied to a float in a thong. and he can hang out with the gays. And really come to terms with how Cape Town has not repented, how evil it has become.
Do you want to see that, is the question?
Yeah, I would, actually.
You want to see him in a thong?
I want to see him in a thong and love.
Mermaid pants thing. What do you call that? Mermaid bottom suit.
Guys, this is someone who, while speaking at Parliament, said homosexuality is a disease. If you ever want to know anything about Angus, and you can take your own personal religious views, do what you want. This man said that. Anybody who says that, in my mind, is a disease himself.
Yeah.
And that's why I guess...
because, of course, so God said that to him as well.
You can be a bit gay some of the time and then get a bit... and then sort of recover a bit and get a bit better. And then be like, oh, no, my gayness is back.
I'm having another bout of gayness.
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing fine again. And that's a pretty good way to manage the illness.
Well, guys, we got to wrap it up because if we talk about Angus anymore, people are going to get incensed looking at the messages. Fuck off, Angus. Such bullshit. How can people believe this crap? Well, this is the thing. Like we're not giving Angus press here. We're basically showing it for what he is. So if you were on the fence about Angus and his repenting for Jesus, for the full dams, that kind of stuff, we just want to expose things for what they are here. Angus is saying that all we... another message here. Angus is saying that it will only rain when the people of Cape Town repent. So he's praying in Mitchell's Plain. So only the coloureds must repent. I'm offended. I just want to say, well done, Gauteng, for pleasing God so much. It's raining again.
That's how we roll.
I know, Gauteng, here we are just people think we're the
God
ones
that digs us lank.
God's got
repented.
We've got glorious sunshine and occasional thunder showers, and we sluice the dams for sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you are in Gauteng, you can take that out of it. If you're international listeners and you think, oh, South Africa's problems are quite trivial at times, I agree with you. But that is it for Wednesday. Sia, who have we got in the interview slot today?
For this morning, we have Gareth's interview with Richard Poplack and Kevin Bloom.
Have they repented for water?
Well, I don't think that was covered in the interview.
If not, they can always go and meet Angus in Mitchell's Plain.
Hallelujah.
I mean, Angus, yes, this guy, but like the balls of this dude. it angers me that he will take money from people.
It angers you that he's going to take money.
It angers good for you, Ben.
He's back in the news and it angers Ben.
There we go.
Going home.
Just one last. We need someone manning the phone lines, apparently. Okay, look, last couple of messages, then we really do have to go. Morning team. Hey Gord. Anyway, you can check how wealthy Angus is. I agree. He's a self-righteous dick and full of hot air. He's an extremist and must have done some bad shit in his youth. Conversation over was bottle or the Bible, Steve. I think Steve's been in the bottle, but I get your point.
I think he's suggesting that Angus has had a booze issue, but that's purely my speculation.
No, you're right, Steve. Definitely, because you only become this extreme when something else in your life has gone so, so badly wrong. And for Angus, I think a lot. Someone wants to actually phone in over Angus. Can we leave this for tomorrow? Sorry, anonymous person there. I got a call over Angus. He's got me all hot.
Oh.
Repent, otherwise you'll have no rain. That's it for today. Gareth's interview up next. And, we're going to leave you with Lizanne.
What a jewel, dudes. Thanks for having me.
Gord, thanks a lot. Catch you back next Wednesday. Justice Malala, he'll be back in a formal capacity, the Burning Platform, this coming Monday with the news that Jacob Zuma is no longer the president.
Please, Angus, please.
And if we all repented and got some rain, we'd have no Zuma and full dams. So, Cape Town, do the right thing. Angus is watching. Really miss my mistress and the 666. Evil people want my mission. Zans gon' make you. Zans gon' take you. Zans gon' fake you. Zans gon' betray you. Zans don't make you. Zans gon' take you. Zans gon' fake you. Zans gon' betray you. Zans gon' fake you. Zans gon' betray you. Zans gon' take you. Don't shave you, fans don't take you, fans don't take you. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? All right. Now, Gord and I were chatting off air about our pets, as we do.
And me being left out because I forgot to send... I promised I'd send Sia a picture, and then I forgot, and now I'm regretting it badly.
Yeah, but anyway, so the opportunity to win cash is back. And that, of course, is always what we want to see. So, win some cash. Simply send a pic of you and your pet on social media, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, with the hashtag Pet Parade, and you could stand a chance of winning cash and pet insurance, so that's a real double whammy, with One Plan. Now, of course, we all are coming to terms with the outcome of the One Plan Pet Parade. It was Chi-Chi the Cha-Cha Gord. You weren't here when that news broke.
Fat One and Blackie Chan would have been in with a chance, and I let them down. And I'm not going to let them down by not insuring them. I'm damn sure not going to let them down again.
Well, it's a dog's world, but it's not actually. It's everyone's world. So with One Plan Pet Insurance, you can make sure your pets, whether they be dogs or cats, can get the best medical treatment when they need it from as little as 133 Rand per month. All you need to do, and this is your inside track towards this, is SMS CLIFF to 31644 now, and One Plan will call you back. So SMS CLIFF, CLIFF, to 31644. So get on that, upload the pictures of your pets, and you can be covering them, as well as winning some cash for you.
What a win.
Anyway, on to the third hour and Gareth's interview for today.
This is CliffCentral.com.